Well, thank you, Chief, and good morning, and delighted to be with y'all with my colleagues and joining this conference virtually this morning. It's always one I look forward to attending. I'm just sorry I can't see everybody in person today. But it's, you know, as the Chief said, we're, we've been able, because we've been so much online and virtual, it's been a pretty seamless transition. And the Zoom arguments, I think, were a natural extension of that. It's been, I think, some of the lessons, you know, one of the things that I'm, as an appellate advocate, that I've been thinking of from the advocate's perspective is being sure, you know, to do a moot that, you know, electronically in that format. I think that's helpful for preparation. And we did a moot to get online and try it out and be sure that everything worked on our ends at the Chief's good suggestion. So, you know, and it makes it easier to get people to meet you because they don't even have to come to where you are. So that works out well. And I think, you know, as far as the back and forth in the oral arguments, Justice Guzman had suggested from something that she heard from a colleague in another state that maybe when we're asking questions, it's not quite as easy as in person in the courtroom that maybe we say the advocate's name, Ms. So-and-so, Mr. So-and-so, just to provide a little bit of transition into the question and help with the flow. And that seems to work pretty well, I think. And it's gone relatively smoothly. There was, we had one advocate that had some connection problems and we were able to get him back and give him his full time. But, you know, I think it just speaks to the importance on everybody's end, on our end too, of being sure that you've got a good, stable connection, hopefully a wired connection, or if not, a really good Wi-Fi connection, just to be sure that there aren't interruptions like that. And of course, you're going to get your time. We're going to get it back and make it work. But, you know, the more seamless it can be, it's easier on the advocate, I think, or whoever gets dropped, because you're not flustered with, you know, the technology and having to try to get back on and get back on track. You can think about the substance of your case.
Justice Bland.
Hi, good morning. So when we look at Zoom arguments, we lose a little bit of nonverbal communication because I think there's differing percentages, but a big percentage of our communication is nonverbal. And so here are a few things that I thought of for you to consider when you're presenting a Zoom argument. First thing is test out the lighting in the room. Avoid backlighting. Have the good lighting facing you, because then your facial cues are going to be more obvious to your audience, your virtual audience. If possible, and this is, the Chief isn't using one this morning, but he usually does, use a real background because green screens and the virtual screens tend to make the nonverbal cues go away a little bit. And if you're trying to assist the listener with comprehension, you lose a little bit of that with the green screen. What I've noticed is that, at least in our case at the court, we are tending to allow the advocates a longer introduction period. Whereas in person oral arguments, someone usually jumps in with a question within about 30 seconds. It seems like we're allowing a longer runway there. So be prepared to go on a little bit longer with your introductory remarks than you might have been in an in-person argument. It's very difficult in a Supreme Court argument to pin the justices because the argument happens almost instantaneously. You're put into the argument. And so the justices move around. But if you're giving a Zoom argument to a trial court, for example, consider pinning that judge to your screen, so that person is in one place and you can talk directly to the judge. It makes it a little more challenging in responding to justices' questions, I think, when they don't remain in the same place. Avoid a room with high ceilings or stone floors or anything that can echo, so that your verbal communication is the best that it can be. And that's, you know, goes back to Justice Busby's idea of trying to use a moot. So, and then finally, if you are on screen at the time that your opposing advocate is giving argument, remember that your poker face needs to be front and center because the justices have a are looking right at you, whereas they might not be focusing on you at council table in person. So those are a few suggestions for advocates.
Those are excellent tips. I had a Fifth Circuit argument about a month ago by video, and the court tried a rule, and I think they're still experimenting, but they said the first 50% of your time, there would be no questions. And then the three-judge panel would take turns, and they would start with the most junior judge, who would ask all of his or her questions, and then go to the next judge, and then finally the presiding judge, if there was any time left. That's probably not practical on your court, but it shows that courts are trying different techniques. Hopefully we can come back to oral argument, but I wanted to ask one last question about the effect of the coronavirus and so on. What has that done to your ability to deliberate, to schedule conferences, to talk back and forth, and maybe try to persuade a colleague about a position? Justice Bland, you're on my screen, so why don't you start, and then let's go around the horn.